Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration today is the gospel reading appointed for this feast of the Visitation, especially verse 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Luther makes the comment that when God does his work in the world, it appears as though a mad axeman had been let loose in a forest. The theologian of glory sees things as they appear to be. The theologian of the cross sees things as they are. So this morning, we do not come together to try to ferret out some reason or hidden cause for the destruction brought to our community and our campus by last Saturday's tornado. We do not come together to engage in philosophical speculation or to perhaps paraphrase the words of John 9, whose sin, this faculty or its students. Rather, we come together around the gospel of the Visitation. That first meeting of the Christ with his forerunner, John the Baptist. That announcement that God comes not in the raw power of his awesome majesty, but rather as a baby carried for 9 months in the womb of a Jewish virgin. Faith lives not by speculation, but by that sure and certain word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and so praises him as the donor of every good and perfect gift, even in the midst of affliction and disappointment, confusion, and loss. Elizabeth utters a true word when she says to Mary, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Later on in Luke's gospel, Jesus would say, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Mary believed that word spoken by the angel Gabriel. And in believing, she conceived. In one of his Christmas sermons, Luther remarks that there are three miracles present in the account of the Annunciation. The first, Luther says, is that a virgin should become pregnant without the aid of a man. Luther goes on to say this is a rather small miracle for the God who brought the universe into existence by his mighty word. God could do that with the twitch of his little finger, says Luther. A bit greater miracle is the second miracle, that the God whom the heavens cannot contain takes on flesh and blood and becomes a man. But Luther says the third and greatest miracle of all is this, that this young Jewish virgin would believe the angel's word. Had she not have believed, Luther said, she would not have conceived. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary trusted in a word that contradicted every human instinct. How could it be that she, a poor and lowly maiden, could be the mother of the Savior? How could it be that she, who was without a husband, could become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. A word is implanted in her ear, and the Son of God is formed in flesh and blood within her body. Mary believes this word, and in faith, she goes off to the hill country of Judah to tell her cousin Elizabeth of the great things God has done for her. In many ways, these two women are not at all alike. Elizabeth was old, perhaps in her 60s or 70s, surely past the time for bearing children. Mary was young, no doubt a teenager. Elizabeth was married to a priest, living a comfortable and financially secure life. Mary was engaged to Joseph, a single woman, poor. Yet they are bound together by faith in the promises of God. Elizabeth, long barren, is now to be the mother of the one who will prepare Messiah's way. And even in the womb, he leaps for joy at his presence. Mary is indeed blessed among women, for she carries in her body the very Son of God, who will be born to show mercy to sinners in the blood of his cross. This holy convocation of Elizabeth and Mary ends with Mary's hymn of praise, the Magnificat. She receives the word of the Lord, and so she does what faith always does when God delivers his people. Like Miriam of old, who stood on the shore of the Red Sea, Mary sings. She sings not of herself, but of her God and her Savior. Her anthem magnifies the name of the Lord who has done great things, who has extended his mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. She sings of God who delivers his people, who fills the hungry with good things, who puts down the mighty from their thrones and exalts the poor. She sings of God, a God who fulfills his promises and comes in flesh and blood as seed of the woman to rescue and release a fallen creation. We are recipients of that mercy. And on this day, Mary's song of praise and thanksgiving is our own confession. The one who holds the power of wind and rain in his hand is that baby carried in Mary's womb. He is our brother. He is our Savior. He is the Son of the Father, and to paraphrase the words of the Catechism, he is the Son of the Father who defends us against all danger, guards and protects us from all evil. And all this he does purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us, for all of which it is our duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. We praise him, for he has delivered us not only from a tornado, but from the storm of God's wrath, from sin and death. And so faith lays hold to God's word. And today we join our voices with Mary to praise the God of salvation who continues to deliver his people. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.